Beloved congregation, this evening is set apart for that purpose to call upon the name of the Lord for our nation, for our fields, for our industry, for the church, for the president, for all the rulers of our nation. And of course, you know, there is no beginning and there is no end. But of course, now the trouble. Now the trouble. We have no prayer. We have no prayer. No. We have lost that in paradise. There we have separated ourselves from the Lord. And now, by virtue of the fall of Adam, there is no contact longer more between heaven and earth. And still, congregation, we are so dependent from the Lord, from day to day, from moment to moment. You have realized that in your own city and state, if the Lord gave no rain, everything dried out. And so men and beasts had to die. And still congregation, and still no prayers. No. The times in which we are living, very dark. There are meetings, there are gatherings between the different companies on account of the seriousness of the time, but one do not trust the other. And of course, what shall I say? There is in general no acknowledging of the Lord. Not amongst the world and even amongst the living. And the Lord becomes tired of us. And we are not a prophet, no. But there is no opening to the throne of grace. Why? Look to Isaiah 59, verse 2, where the Lord said, it are your sins that made us separate you, and that I hide my face for the house of Israel. And a handful of religion and some tears, but did not come out of the heart. And that there is now something, congregation, we cannot buy it. And there is not a one person in the world that can give it us. It is only the Most High God. Is it then totally hopeless? Yeah. On my side and on your side, then it is hopeless. What I am doing on the pulpit this evening, then, and what is the reason that you accept a minister? That is only that the Lord was moved from all eternity in himself. And that he found out a way. There was no more way. No. He blocked everything up. And of course, we have nothing else than guilt and sin. Nothing else. But now to have sorrow about it. And we cannot want to hear of that bring in our lives. And even less in our hearts. Lip work. And maybe there's of some here amongst me. Some. A man that is sometime afraid that his wife shall say, stop with all those words. With all those idle words. Is every day the same thing? Oh, wife, I have nothing else. No. Shall I stop? No. No. Acknowledge me in all thy ways. And I shall direct all your paths. And call upon me in the day of trouble. And now, of course, I hope that the Lord give us a prayer day and a prayer evening. I hope so. Out of free and sovereign grace. And the only way in which this is possible, I hope to say some words this evening about it. I will say something about the greatest prayer day that ever was here on earth. And you know already the text, I think. You have heard it. By the reading of Luke 22nd. Verse 44, the first part, where it said, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly this far. At our only congregation this evening, two words. And I hope that the Lord is present in all of our hearts. Because between our cradle and our grave, then it is necessary that the Lord give us a prayer day in our life. The greatest prayer day in this world was of that excellent, that precious, high priests, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the sum is in the realm of nature, that is Christ for the church, and that is Christ for his children. The Father had anointed his Son and chosen him from all eternity. There is the foundation. And man stands totally outside of it. The way is not with man. No. Nothing at all. If it had to come from us, congregation, sometime they say, even in the church, that there must be need to pray. That the Lord will use that sometime, that's not something else. But itself, no. There is no thought about it. Even that the whole city like of Patterson and that is in New York came down. And that there was not one stone that stay upon the other. But no, no. Cursing the Lord. Rebellious, revealing our enmity against him. There was no rain here. Reservoirs were not filled as years ago. A little water on the bottom, no more. And you read in the word of God about the prophet Elijah that there was no rain in 3 years and 6 months. And that King Ahab, he was trembling upon the ground of enmity against the Lord. But the Lord did not look upon it, no. But that Elijah, that servant of the Lord, that receive a prayer. That receive a prayer. And then there came an abundantly rain upon the earth. And you read in James 5, I think 16, the verse, that a prayer of the righteous availed much, prevailed much, but not everything. Elijah had to receive it from Christ. And all God's children have to receive it from him. He is the source and the fount of all blessings in nature and in grace. Christ came after that he was chosen and promised for 4,000 years. Then he came here in this world. And what happens when he came in the world? Bethlehem closed the gates for him. There was not a one man that welcomed him. Not a one. There was no room for him in the inn. And he was laid in that manger. And that was under the ground. And a blessing that he was never born in a palace. Then there was no opening for a poor sinner. But now for sinners that learn what a great beast that they are before the Lord. And there we have to come. We had yesterday also prayer day, and we talked 3 times about sin and opening. And now, of course, there is in our life nothing that is so hidden and that is so concealed than sin. We cannot talk about holiness. But with our mind, with our conscience. But now to become as a sinner inside, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And now, if it is the work of the Lord in our heart, I shall not stay so much on that point this evening. But if that now happens, that we in truth and uprightness become sins. And nothing else than a sin. Then there is an opening. An opening in that blessed and precious Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that became sin for all his people, that they shall be righteous before God. Christ came in the world not to rule, not to sit upon a throne, no. The disciples had hoped that. Oh, yes. And when in John 6, thousand and thousand people were ready to make him a king, oh, then even that Peter and John and Thomas and Nathanael and all that people, they were so glad. So glad they thought that was the good way. That goes now the right way. And as soon we enter in Jerusalem, and for my poor visitors, you know, they all poor people, they're nothing in the world, not one penny, no. But then they thought soon in big palaces, and then an income, oh. And all the people shall salute us and honor us. But suffer and die. And now to make it short, then Christ started his prophetical work in public when he was 30 years old. Then he started with prayer. You read that in Luke 3. And when he started his priestly office, also in public, and that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then the text that said, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Christ started with prayer because he was well the Son of God, and he remains the Son of God, but he was also the servant of the Father. And he came to satisfy the justice of his Father. Zion shall be delivered by a ransom. And we have nothing, no. And there shall never be anything found in men. Never. If he receive a man converted by the Lord and receiving grace from the Lord in our heart, what shall then be the outcome? I shall tell you. I shall take this evening one man out of the Word of God, only one. And that was Paul. On the way of Damascus, then he had prayed in his life for the first time. He had held out his head 1,000 times and closed his eyes, oh yeah, and on the corner of the street with such a long face that he never did pray. Oh, congregation, we have to learn what to learn. That we are without God in the world, that we have to learn. That we are separated from the Most High God. And we have no sorrow over it at all in our life, only when the Lord gave it to us. And how seldom we said to be everyone, every man, to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments. And that means that God's servants, they never can take away from man responsibility. We have to preach that, yes. Yes. In our churches too, there is more and more coming a spirit that reveals himself against the true doctrine. And then they say that talk on the pulpit about predestination and election makes us sick. We will hear something else. What you will hear? What I will hear, that I have to believe. That I have to do something. And you must stir that up in the preaching. I hope. I hope with my whole heart that the brother that's hope to come here, that he all the time, I am old, and it may be well for the last time that I stand here on this pulpit, but that the sovereignty of the Lord is placed on the foreground, maintaining in the same time the responsibility of men. We cannot deny that. It was unbiblical if he did it. But we have to learn in our life, as Joseph Aaron said in a sermon, that Christ took the responsibility of his shirts. He did it in his whole life, 33 years. He did it in the Garden of Gethsemane, because the text that said, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Christ, he came in the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ came at Gabbatha, where he was standing before Pilate. And he was led to the mouth of Calvary, where they crucified him. That he, as the surety of the church people, and that is my place and that is your place, that we have even no place more in here on earth, and of no place in heaven. Is that necessary to learn that? Yes, people. Yes. And if we not never learn that, then we shall deceive our poor soul for eternity. Verse that is too short, congregation. but it has to become matters just between the Lord and our soul. You read, and we sing in 4:26, the chorus of death, help me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven. Christ came under that and in that, and through it and out, as a surety of the church. But we have to learn something here between the Lord and our soul. If we never learn something of hell, people, heaven have no value for our soul. And the disciples, even the 11 disciples, I don't know not over about Judas. No. He was a reprobate. And he had never one spark of the love of God in his heart. Never. And he had revealed that, and the Lord gave him over, and a totally hardening of the heart. And Christ said, friend, why you are here? Instead that he broke down, and that he lay in the dust before the Lord, he stands on his feet, and he was never privileged to come in dust and ashes before the Lord. Never. But those other people, all they have taught, for 3 years they were living with Christ as a prophet. Every day church, and every time something for their soul. Oh, what a wonderful life. But they have to learn that Christ was trodden the winepress alone, and that not one of the natures was with him. Peter, yeah, he was so free, that man. And the bottom of it and the root of it was the love to Christ. I say that on the foreground. But he was so ignorant about the mediatorial work of the Son of God. He said, Lord, even that those other ones shall leave you, I shall not do it. You have heard Christ, he said, all that you have, sell it and buy a sword, the sword of the Spirit. He shall need it soon. But then I say that poor boy, he said, Lord, here, I have two swords in me. I have not to go to the store. I have. And I shall show that to heaven too. And he cut off that ear of that mouth. Oh, it was a blessing that he killed not that boy. Yeah, then he was a murderer. And Christ, he set that ear on that there on his head, that they never could say, come. I say, I shall show that mouth. But that man had on, the follower of Christ. Oh, he is so lief for his dear children. He is so loved. He is altogether loved. We are a fool. And we don't nothing miss. And I told you in the year that I came here, Wells, that in John 14, where Christ took bid farewell to his church, that there were 3 persons in that chapter, conferred at once, and not the one that know anything. Thomas, he said, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know the way. And Philip, he said, show us the Father and 'tis enough. And Judas, who is not Iscariot, he said, what is it, Lord, that thou shalt reveal thyself unto us and not unto the world? Yeah, and then come nog even back to that Peter with the sword. When Christ had said that to buy a sword and sell that purse and all those other stuff, then he said, Lord, here I have my sword. And then Christ said, is enough. He stopped with it. Oh, he would say, the people that did not accept it for my instructions. No, they are not accepted. Later on, then they shall learn, after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in love. And when that happens, then they start to preach and start with eternity. That. Did they tell the people life before? No, no, no. But not the full counsel of the Lord. No. But after Pentecost, then they were brought into it. Yeah. And now, of course, congregation, Christ, he came in this world. I come back to that. He came in this world to suffer and to die. Because God's justice and God's truth that required the death of the Son of God. Yeah. There was no other way. Because in that day that thou shalt eat, you shall surely die. Christ died not for himself, but he died for his people. He came in a great agony. In a great agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was not one man. At the entrance, there were 8 disciples at the entrance. And he took 3 disciples with him in the midst of the garden. But then a cast stone farther than Christ had gone. Thus, God's dear people that come never to the place where Christ comes. Never. And in great agony, he prayed more earnestly. Because the devil had tried to kill him when he was young. And he had tried to make a separation in Matthew 4 between the Father and the Son in that awful temptation. That he presented to that Christ all the kingdoms of the world. But Christ, he said, there is written. And that was the end. And then in Luke 4, verse 17, then it said that the devil go away from him for a time. But he came back. Day and night. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was that devil with all his power that he showed there to bring Christ to an end. To have the upper hand over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Christ came under the full wrath of God. For God's people, it is not the full wrath, no. The Lord, he speaks by the prophet Isaiah about a little wrath. But the great wrath of God came upon that Christ. And then, of course, in a great agony, he prayed more earnestly, said that text. And to whom did he pray? The Son was praying to his Father. And that way, that was never spared. No. Then he came in the 3 hours of darkness. Then for those 3 hours he could not mention the name of his father. But then he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he came out of it, knowing that everything was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets. Then he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. And that voice that was so loud and that was so powerful, it is heard at the depths of hell, and it is heard in the highest heavens, and blessed. And that he pleased for you. And otherwise, there no prophet. It shall testify against the people. Therefore, it is day and night. The prayer of the hearts. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. They need it. And they need it on the foundation of the blood and righteousness of the Son of God, and the surety and the Savior of the church. They need it. That the Father is satisfied, and that the Father had all his delight, not in my tears and not in my experiences and not in my longing. No, that all falls outside. But it is only that blood. You read that in Exodus 12, verse 13. That the Lord said to Israel in Egypt, when I see the blood, then I shall pass by. And it was a blessing for the people that that angel not go into the houses. Because if he had go into the houses, then he had everybody killed. But if I see the blood on the lintel, and on the post of the door. And now that blood of Christ, that hath to be applied to our heart and to our soul. In the Old Testament in Leviticus, then you read time and again on all those offerings and all the killings for all those different animals. And if you are have to read that in your house or something, you think of, Ja, je bekomt tijd over. Het is te bad hoor. Oh, het is te bad. They must have shelf here that is jumping in our soul of yours. And then Moses said to Aaron, now you take that blood. And you sprinkle that blood upon the people. And upon all the vessels in the house of the Lord. Yeah. And that refers congregation to the applying of Christ in our heart. Therefore, if it only is once in our life that that takes place, then it is well forever and forever. And if it takes place, then you read in Genesis 31, verse 13, that after 20 years, that the Lord came back to Jacob, and in that night when he was so down with his wife and 12 children, almost no courage to live, but then he said, I am the God of Bethel. And now the Lord come back to his own earth, and that people is also privileged to come back to what the Lord has wrought in their soul. And then they say with David, what? Remember thy word spoken to thy servant. And then there is a pleading upon that Christ and upon his precious blood, what they need for the poor soul, because in himself they are black and they stay black time and again. Therefore Christ, he was the feet of the disciples, not their hands and their head, no, but their feet. Because every step that we do in our life, Day and night, it is always wrong. And congregation, if it is not wrong with us, then it is wrong by God, by the Lord. Oh, yes. But why is it church in such darkness? Oh, no need for that blood. No need for that blood. Oh, that you were hot, or that you were cold, or lukewarm now. That is the condition. And the Lord himself, I start this evening saying to you, that we have no prayer of ourselves. And you cannot say, now, I do no more pray, no. Seek the Lord while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. But we have to learn that the Lord have no pleasure in us, but well delight in justice and in mercy. And in that mercy that he had showed in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and that he applied that full mediatorial word of that precious Savior to his dear children, as we now sing together. Out of 185, preserve my saint and soul, I pray. From tides of hatred save, let not the waters overflow, redeem me from the grave. 185, 2 and 3. And being in an agony, prayed more earnestly. And there are some things that we have to observe in that prayer of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the first place, it was an humble prayer. He kneeled down. He kneeled down. Oh, congregation, as long as we are standing on our feet, then it is all wrong. Then it is all wrong. Yeah. But if we are sinking to our feet, and that we come on the ground, and then, oh, there is one thing. God's people that is well glad when they receive something in their heart. But oh, there is always something left. And what is it? When I was once in their life, and oh, people, that is so seldom, so seldom, so seldom. But if it now takes place, and they lay there, in the totally nothingness, what do they say then? Then they say, oh Lord, please, please, deeper, deeper, deeper. That there is nothing left of me. And Christ kneeled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And on our side, it is impossible. You can, my dear people, you can this evening bow your knees. But, oh, that we lay there, knowing that the Lord is so worthy. Oh, yes. And I say not that is wrong. No, no, no. No, the Lord is so worthy. A drop of water, a slice of bread, is all sin to me. All sin to me. But the knees here, hey, that is. And how many times you have to stand up, and there happens nothing. And then we come on in a deeper pit than we ever were. And then that devil, if it is true, that's necessary. Then he said, hypocrite that we are. Shall you another time dare to bow? The Lord shall cast you away. He shall tie you. But 2 minutes later, that boy that lay there again. And that girl, that man in that race. And then they say, oh Lord, oh, make me the sinner. That my tears are right. There's a man that say to William, I am jealous to your tears. He said, no. Oh, he said, no. And that man, he said, why not? I thought that was so wonderful. I saw some glinting in those tears. He said, no. He said, I see so much dust in it. So much dust. That's the way. Oh, and I hope, congregation, that very soon no more it in the world. But oh, I hope that in our congregations that stay. Death has stayed. That you never shall hear anything else. No. And what is that, people? Oh, I can say that the two words this evening, that is God all and man all. That is the true lady. And if we are missing it, then we condemn ourselves. If for our own imagination that we think I was never so far from him, then I am so close. And then he is standing there to embrace me. And he is ready to kiss me. Fury is not with me. Isaiah 27, verse 8. And then he speaks peace and pardon to the people. Oh, he come in peace to them. And they come in such a communion with him that there is no more distance, no more distance. And 5 minutes before that they thought, oh, never and never shall the Lord come back to my soul. I am a reprobate, I am a hypocrite. Yeah. Oh, Franklin Lake. That is the truth that he preaches. And in great agony, he prayed most earnestly. It was, and it is a second thing, it was in childlike prayer. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he said, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, that means lovely Father. No separation just between the Father and the Son. Oh, and that for that people that is so guilty, that is so miserable, that is worthy to be cast away out of that sight. They will understand that. They are ready to do it. But now out eternity and out of the heart of the Father who is reconciled with that dear Peter. Oh, then he said, Father, yeah. But I have seldom in my life that freedom to say that, right? Oh, I am swerving away from him day and night, then with this and then with that. And in the third place, that prayer of Christ that was a constant and a persistent prayer. Oh, if the intercession of that Savior and the righteous, if that intercessor was one moment not there, then the old church was sinking. I have read to you this evening that Christ, he said to that Peter, when he spoke about his denial, and then he said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And now, congregation, when thy faith fail not, that is in the heart of God's people also. It can well lay under the dust, and it can well be an awful strife, oh yes, awful, that they say it was never anything with you. You are a stranger of God and his race. But still, as an ark panteth after the water brook, so my soul thirsts after the living God. And I cannot uphold it. Oh no. I cannot uphold it. The disciples were even sleeping in the Garden of Gethsemane in such a serious moment. I did. You do. But I prayed for you. And when shall that prayer no end to you? Psalm 72. The prayers of David, the son of the son of Jesse. David. And that entered when that people is delivered of out of the promise. And of out of the sin. And of out of the snares of the devil. And out of all the unbelief, with rage they go to the world. And there is only one that knows it. Oh, there is only one that knows it. Your husband does know. Your wife do know. Your children know. There is only one. And then I think it is at the brink of despair, then that intercessor, then that blessed Christ that is there, I have prayed for me. For me. I had no prayer, Lord. And not only I have no prayer, but everything that was against the will of the Lord. Fighting. I have prayed for you. And that upholdeth me for time and for eternity. And finally, it was an earnest and a fervent prayer. Oh, we can well number the days and the times that it is received. Oh, lukewarm. Sometimes we say amen, and we don't know what we have said in our prayer. Words. And our hearts, for who you are to ourselves, so far away. But Christ prayed, three times he prayed. Oh, congregation, that is, that means Christ is praying all the time with the people. All the time. And he made it acceptable in the sight of his Father. And that the Father's ears are open for the poor petitions of the people. Oh, yes. Sometimes they can say nothing else as, oh Lord, oh Lord, amen. And then later, amen, Father, that he never had prayed as that. Without words, without words. And then at Christ he said, you have taken my eyes, my God, met one of your eyes. I thought there was not one in the world so unfruitful, and so cold, and so hard, and so indifferent, and I'm taken not with one of my eyes. Oh, congregation, we have grace in our heart. We have to learn till the last minute of our life what grace is. Till the last minute. We shall stop for this evening. Oh, that the Lord of pure words and empty words may bless for our soul. That we go to our bathrooms with faith. And that we have no little meditation. Yeah. That with our head in that, yeah. With our head in that pillow, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have sometimes trouble with some words. But in that pillow, yeah. With our head in that pillow. And then that he become water. For what? To bring out shallow on the throne? No. No. So must the king live forever and forever. And that his name shall be on it. And be glorified forever and forever. Yeah, congregation, I don't know whether that we shall not have a Thanksgiving Day in November. I don't know. The weaker is afraid for it. Can realize it. And what he is talking sometimes. He is afraid. Oh, was it Mars in the right way? That he with his attire, that he rent his clothes in that right house there in that person. To be a blessing. Oh, yeah. The Lord, he said, even of 10 righteous men in Sabbath, then he shall not spare. I hope the Lord bless you outwardly. Oh yeah, you never take that over from me. I hope he bless the work of your hands. I hope so. And he preserve and protect us for communism, atheism, socialism, and for all the spirits out of the deep abyss of hell. And from that wrong religion too, that put all the people in heaven without ground. Boys and girls, stay with the truth. Stay with the truth. There is no other doctrine. No. I am so persuaded, from the time that I was 15, 40 years old, that that is the right doctrine. And that there is no other name given in the heaven whereby we must be saved. And now at this, and of much more, as that I was a boy, of much more, I love this. I can kiss it. With all the love of God. He cannot die with me, oh no, and not live with me. Christ, this is life eternal, that they know me, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, the God of all grace, sent by the words, and blessed for comfort and uncomforted, to his honor and glory, and to our true humiliation for his great name's sake, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Lord, bless thy word. Remember the congregation. Bless the preaching and the reading and catechizing. And all the instructions from Sunday to Sunday, he commend them at the throne of grace. Make further everything well in the time that you hope not to stay here for some days. Oh Lord, give no desire to preach and no strength and all that we need. And only to extol the triune God in the highest. Remember the congregation with elders and deacons. Remember the school with the principal and the teachers and the board. And supply all the needs and all the wants, all the labors. Also is spreading out the truth over the whole world, made everything of wealth and strengthen the widows of orphans and widows, and hear us for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now the last stanza of 123. O why art thou hiding the light of thy face, forgetting our burden of grief and disgrace? 123, the last stanza. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.